Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back for another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast with yours truly, B Things, and the homie Bengals Drake. We took probably a little bit over a week off. We're running full force, so been running for a while. Some of us been running at some different speeds. Like for me personally, I guess the speed I've been running with all these damn mock drafts has left me a little gassed, I'm not gonna lie. So the latter part, bro, feeling the draft energy though. Joe Burrow days to the draft. How you doing, bro?
Doing great. I'm doing great. I was gassed too, man. I had to cut off the mock drafts. I had to kind of get off Twitter for a little bit too, man. I was just kind of Twitter X, whatever you call it. Okay, I call it Twitter still. I don't care. But yeah, man. I got gassed. I had to kind of chill out. Been kind of more focused on Instagram here lately because this month, man, they did like an invitation thing for, I guess, I don't know if they did it for everyone, but they did an invitation where like you could make money for the month of April. So
Wow, like Twitter.
yeah, I kind of been pushing out content on Instagram this
Don't know that shit. I gotta get involved with that, bro. I gotta post more so I can kind of get eligible for that shit.
Well, I it's only for a month. That's the thing that sucks is like Instagram needs to bring it to the point where like content creators are making money off it all at all times, kind of like how Twitter is doing and how TikTok is doing. I'm surprised Instagram has not
You
moved
know what, maybe
full time.
they're doing it as a trial intentionally, just to see, kind of get a pulse on where this could go. You know what I'm saying?
True.
To see if it sticks. Yeah, maybe
Because
it's just.
they kind of are behind, if you think about it, yeah.
I mean, that's so effective, dude. Like the pay is so measly on the reel. Like, but the more engagement, the more people are posting, the more it's going to revitalize the app. So. I mean, it's so smart, bro. Like Elon, bro. Like shout out Elon, dude. Like anybody that hates Elon, bro. Like he's not perfect. I'm not saying he's not, but like first off, like we won't get politically at all. But like I like where he stands with some of that shit, cause he's not fucking psycho. And bro, he's built such a good business of Twitter, bro. Like it makes sense. Like the moves he's decided to do, and like you said, with the subscription based. The payout structure for a lot of these people that put content on Twitter is dope. It's like you get reimbursed in a way that's really evolved the
Now,
social media world.
do you have to have like 10,000 followers or something on Twitter,
No,
or do you
not.
just have to pay for the Meta Verified?
I think you have to pay for something, yeah, and then you have to post a certain amount. So, yeah, it's like supposedly at the beginning, like some people were just almost like farming their post to get that shit up. And it's like, bro, like this post is so whack. Like you're just trying to get a buck. I don't know what the guidelines are. I'd have to read them. But yeah, it's something along the lines of that. But yeah, bro, I mean, just summing it up, that's where social media shit, my fucking phone just fell. Obviously, like you said, you're running hard on Instagram right now. I've been laying low a little bit with the Instagram stuff for now. Obviously trying to pick it up here, and Twitter spaces, lots of the same conversations, but just kind of going along with a little bit of news we got, which we will go ahead and hit on a couple of news pointers real quick before we get into some more draft talk. Joe Hibachi re-signed, RFA. So, which is why they're probably waiting to be signed, right? Restricted free agents. I did not know Hibachi, Joe Bocci, Joe Hibachi, was RFA. Same with Cal Adomaitis. So they're back. Cal Adomaitis.
Lifer.
Yeah, facts, bro. Facts. I mean, shit. That's what they're gonna be at this point, bro. Like Cal Adomaitis. I know he's younger, but Joe Hibachi, you're four. He's the most substantial one of the two. Like we kind of talked about a little bit, like. Even in mock drafts, I've alluded to it. Joe Hibachi is Joe Hibachi is the Mitchell Wilcox of the linebacker room. He was the guy that I knew was gonna be back because why not? You got money. He's been really good as a depth piece. He gives you exactly what you want. He's still on the market, and obviously nothing ended on bad terms. So that's cool though. How that changes the draft is all of a sudden you're really not looking for linebackers, bro, because you got a full, healthy a slew of five guys he liked because they like Shaka Hayward as well.
I mean, isn't it so cool when you think about it, right? Because I remember, bro, like years ago. I know you remember. You have to. Like the Nick Vigil era. Like, just, I mean, that was just.
Dickerson.
Oh my gosh, dude. So Preston Brown. I mean, we had guys that just could not come in here and play at the linebacker position. Now we got guys like in my opinion, a guy like Joe Bocci, he gives you confidence, right? If a guy goes down, he knows the system and he's shown and proved to be able to produce. I love it, man. When you think about guys like Jalen Davis and guys that they've brought in and kind of mold into the system, and maybe they're not the typical guys that are going to get a shitload of snaps, but if those guys need to come in, you feel confident. And same, you know, like I said, in a Jalen Davis where you have a coach like Zach Taylor crediting him, saying, you know, this is a guy who, you know, is a starter on one of 32 teams in the slot. So you look at it, man, and it's awesome when you got these guys, these talents that you've kind of just, I don't know, like,
they are perfect. Yeah, and I'm sorry to cut you off. I just felt like
I was hoping that you came in, you might know like a better phrase for what I'm saying.
You can either have, here's how big the difference can be, bro. A Michael Thomas type player, receiver, versus a Jalen Davis or Joe Hibachi. Now, I wish I can kind of make great examples of like Joe. I do got one. Michael Thomas, 2022, week one. Remember how horrible he was in that Steelers game? Who dropped touchdowns, got in the way of Jamar Chase. That's why I saw him as a terrorist. Like, please get him off my football team. Like, you have the impact of a dude that just cannot. Look, man, all 53 dudes that are dressed, 49, I guess, right? Or however the fuck that works, they matter, bro. Like, it sounds foo-foo, but like, when you're in a pinch and God forbid that XYZ player that's a starter goes down, you have to have a dude that's uber confident in their role. Nah, fuck that. I got a way better example. Trent Irwin.
Yes. There you go.
Exactly. That knew his role and has maximized that role and naturally elevated through trust accumulated of when they had to turn and T. Higgins, they didn't have the lineup they needed. A.J. Green wasn't there anymore. The page turned to 21 because remember, not really 21 with his season. It wasn't really much, but he kept getting a couple of active roster spots. I remember his first catch was Jags game. That was the first catch of his first catch of his NFL career.
Highlight reel catch.
Highlight reel catch. I was like, oh, shit, okay. But then you accrued that because you were confident in your role. To bring it back with Joe Hibachi and Jalen Davis and these guys, they are confident in their roles. You need backups that are confident in their fucking roles. You can't just have bodies. You can't just have talent. That's why I always bring up, because I always got to remind people the reality exists of, you can Eagles your way to a 0-6 stretch to end your season. In signing a skeleton Julio Jones, the names, right? The Shaq Leonards, the Kevin Byards, all these names, right? Of what you think the talent should make it work. Nah, bro, it's the culture, it's the fit, the character, the dude that has the confidence of that role. Because when it matters most, those dudes feel the best to their capabilities, which is limited. That's why they're backup. So, to make a fucking play. You know what I'm saying? Over the dudes that, like, just simply don't fit. So, you know, full circle, I love the Joe Bocci signing, bro. I think he's exactly what you need. That 49ers game in 21 was epic. Remember, like, that was the Joe Hibachi game, bro. Like, I literally felt like he was Logan Wilson. Like,
oh, yeah.
And Logan Wilson was popping off that year. So, yeah, bro, good signing. You know, I guess not in the angle of a signing, I guess the status of a contract looming with T, Shout out Joe Dannemann. I think he brought it up at the T camp in Cincinnati this past weekend. Supposedly, it was kind of cool on the Paul Daner. I think his new pod, the Growler pod, whatever, he had Joe on. And because, you know, you think of these news anchors, right? Like, you're not allowed to ask contractual NFL questions when you're at a fucking kids camp.
Right.
Like, because they would do it. And supposedly T's camp in the background made it clear to Joe, do not ask contract questions. Joe did anyways at the end. He was like, you know what? Fuck it. What are they going to do? Kick me out? I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to watch these. I was saying, like, fuck these kids, bro. I'm trying to get some fucking answers.
Fuck and these kids, man.
Them kids. And I think they may have kicked him out because he didn't follow protocol, man. Fuck your protocol. fucking peace. Like, let's go. So, yeah, I guess he did fit a question in at the end of, like, fuck, I wish I remember the exact question to T, but it was something about, oh, do you plan to play with the Bengals this upcoming season?
He's like, I do anticipate it.
Yeah. Bro, hey, look, it's tough love. I know you love me. I know it. I know you love Cincinnati. And I know you want to get the bag, bro. You want to get it now. You're itching. I get it. Well, you're going to love this 21.8 mil. Bro, I don't care, bro. Like, you're getting bro, imagine signing. Imagine if his value in the market, say it's going to reach his market, like a Saquon Barkley. Remember? Because he did that.
Yeah.
Saquon, I don't think he. Or Josh Jacobs, great example. Great fucking example. Josh Jacobs didn't sign a franchise tag. He signed a one-year $10 million deal because he wanted to get the structures differently, and which is kind of odd because franchise tag is fully guaranteed. I would have to look into the logistics of that Josh Jacobs deal with the Raiders. But imagine if T went to the market, signed a one-year $21.8 million fully guaranteed deal. I'm lit. All
right.
Yours are shitty. All right, but like, bro.
Straight to the bank.
Oh, straight to the bank, bro. You're getting fucking 15 million. No, taxes, right? Like, taxes. All right, got to pay the fucking bitch boy agent. Like, bro, you getting 15 mil in that fucking bank account. All right. I'm sorry. It's so hard. Come on, bro.
I know, man. Just so sad, man.
It is. It's devastating.
Off a 600-yard season, man. Bad hammy. It's sad.
Come on, bro. Hey, look, man.
I love T. I love T, though, man.
I was about to say the same thing. It's all love, and it is what it is. It's business. Like,
it's business. Like,
bro, Mike Brown made Carson Palmer retire before he traded him, bro. Like, I can be on. We've obviously been on both sides of this. I guess I'll bring it in the middle of, like, what happens. A lot of you fans may be thinking this as well. I used to think of this even. Oh, if a player doesn't want to be here, absolutely get him out at whatever cost. Now, I'm like, I look at it kind of like a decision maker. Like, okay, see you Monday.
Like, right.
What are you going to do? Okay, like, you're here.
Bills need to be paid.
Bills need to be paid, and you equals paid. Oh, yeah, this year. You're not going anywhere. Like, we agreed to a deal. Well, I guess that actually doesn't work here because T didn't agree. Fuck, I'm kind of walking myself into the hole. Like, I see how they get mad, but I don't care if you're mad. You're getting a bag and you're gonna fucking like it. Like, look, bro, he's gonna play on the tag.
What's leverage too, right? It's like, you know, you gotta almost front in a way, you know what I mean? And you have to kind of play your hand right. It's business, as you said.
Hey, maybe a trade offer does get them swept off their feet. Now, for the Bengals specifically, 99.99% chance it ain't happening. Let's just call a spade, bro. Like, it's going to be a first plus for the Bengals to entertain anything.
And that's because, like, of how much they respect T also.
Exactly. And then what makes you think even more is that if the Bengals are looking for a first and a fourth right now, what do you think is going to happen on draft night? Say if the Panthers are sitting there and they just saw the run at the end of the mock. You know, I mean, if you want to go in accordance to like a Peter Schrader mock draft, he just added because he's obviously got great insights.
That guy. And when I saw that pick, it made me hype.
Oh, bro, exactly. Me too. But listen, you saw the end of that mock, did you? With all them receivers going? Like,
no, I didn't see his full mock. I just saw our pick, actually.
At I Mitchell, which, all right, I could see that at the back end of the first. Jalen, Polk, and Ladd, all in the first round.
Wow.
Oh, my God. So, hey, listen, bro. If you're talking in a world where Ladd McConkey is gone and Jalen Polk and some of these other dudes clearly tears down, right? Clearly. And, like, if the Panthers are begging, here's my point, though. Doesn't that give the Bengals even more leverage to ask for more?
Oh, yeah.
Guys are gone now. Oh, Panthers. Oh, Cardinals, if you don't. I really assume. Or say the Chargers. Fine. A Chargers. Oh, you're concerned that you're going to be stuck with. Because, like, look, a reality could be is this year's T. Higgins in the draft could be a Xavier Leggett if the draft would go like that. Because next best guy, right? First, like, Xavier Leggett is not going to fall out of the top five of the second round, my opinion. I just don't think a talent like that. So, like, if the receivers are all gone, the Bengals will be getting calls. But like I said, if they want that first and a fourth, the first is gone. I feel like they would be, like, minimum 2 seconds.
Right.
Minimum, bro. Because I guess the 2 seconds may be equivalent to, like, a back-end first and a fourth or a third. Or shit, I don't know, man. I mean, they... Like, it's kind of crazy how the Bengals fleeced three fourth-round picks.
I really, like, you know what? Obviously, I can't see it happen. Maybe in an unpursuit world it would happen. But imagine Jamar Chase's voice and Xavier Leggett's voice in mic'd up.
I need it, man.
Jamar, bro. Oh my God, bro. That shit would be comedy, bro.
Hey, dude, you know what? You're so right, bro. I couldn't wait for that meeting. Like, Jamar, I think I've tried to emulate Jamar a little bit. Like, I can't do too much of Jamar, but I think when I got down a little bit, it's like, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Something like that, like with Jamar. Then he got Xavier. Yeah, he's like, I don't know, man. It's like something out of a. I don't know how he got that twang, bro. It's crazy. You're like, man, like, like, bro's kicking dust. Like,
bro, I know he's gonna be a dog though. Like, he's gonna be a dog, bro.
And all glory to God, man. And I can't wait. Hey, shout out glory to God. But man, he's gonna make me put my fucking cowboy boots on. I don't even got him. Is for cowboy.
Oh shit, that's hilarious, bro. Yeah, but I mean, another. I mean, we're talking about the draft now. We're kind of talking about these receivers. It's like a lot of people are like feeling some type of way about Brennan Rice, and like if you took him in the second round there, because he kind of fits everything with the Bengals in terms of when they draft at that position. It's like I understand, like, we got people on Twitter that think, like, they are, like, the, like, I don't know, like, GMs, right? The GMs, like, the NFL GMs. But, like, if these wide receivers are going quick like this, maybe that gives you the room to draft a guy like that in round two. Because I wouldn't be surprised. You know, the Bengals are going to have to draft a wide receiver with a premium pick. And I expect them to do so, right? Don't you? I mean, I expect them at least second to third round. I assume they would take one.
You know what? This is kind of sideways real quick. Just really random, bro. Mm-hmm. This is insane to think about. This is actually really insane to connect more. Bro, Brendan Rice is literally Bronny James. Like, not as – obviously, no one's going to be as good as his dad.
Right.
The reason why I correlated it, first off, USC, right? Like, played with some good players, but here's the kicker. Brendan Rice is truly a pro-ready receiver. He is, bro. His route tree is pretty developed. for playing at USC, obviously with Caleb Williams, like they could run literally fucking anything you could possibly think of.
And you never, like, I mean, being a bust like that, like he might make Caleb look better. You know what I mean?
Hey, here's the thing, bro. With Brendan, I will say it now. Like, he's going to be a good NFL player. Is he going to be elite? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe. But he's a really, like, first off, he's a really good wide receiver. I'd say he's tier three. He ain't tier two. Like, because, I mean, in most drafts, he would be clear-cut tier two. Let's make it clear.
Yeah.
But a potentially all-time receiver class. It probably will, but he's a pro-ready receiver. Like I said, bro, he's really mature. Obviously, his IQ is there as a receiver, you know, seeing what he's, you know, seeing and, you know, learning from his dad. But like I said, the route tree's developed. He's a quality route runner. He's a good player. You know, he creates space pretty well. He's pretty good with yak. He's not elite at anything. He kind of reminds me of like a little bit bigger than a Tyler Boyd. And if you drafted him at 49, I would be like, whoa, that's really early? But I feel good. Like, that's going to be a good quality contributor in the league, like wherever he goes. So, yeah, coming back to your point, bro, after going full circle, if Brendan Rice was at 49, fuck, that sounds like the most night before draft insight from a Dave Lapham comment, right? Oh, because you know how Dave kind of, it's almost like the night before Christmas. The night before draft, Dave Lapham like sprinkles what he's actually gotten from inside the building. Because remember last year, bro, when he said Matthew Bergeron in the first?
Oh my God.
Bro, I was about to, dude, I was about to die. I'm like, oh my God, bro. Bro, I will not forget how Twitter was in shambles that morning, bro. Like, I never saw so many Kermit the Frog memes, bro. Like, jumping off the cliff. Like, I will jump if we draft Matthew Bergeron the first. But that was the Dave Lapham inkling. And it was, they admitted that, yeah, Matthew Bergeron was high on our list. And Drago, potentially the first, would have shit, fell to the second. I could so see that with Brendan Rice. Yeah, you know, they really like Brendan Rice, you know, and I bet Dave Lapham would love to hear that, right? Like, Jerry Rice's son, yeah, he's so great. Lost twice, lost to his dad twice in the Super Bowl, but yeah, bro, I can see it.
Hey, man, this draft's going to be fun, that's for sure. And I think now also you had to kind of wrap up the T thing. I mean, I know we're talking about the wide receivers and whatnot, just kind of pull back, but you also had, was it Jeremy Fowler? I think it was Jeremy Fowler. Basically reported that there's no, you know, T's not getting traded. You know what I mean? So Bengals are content with that. Something that Zach Taylor, you know, has said and people in the front office have said is like, T. Higgins gives us the best chance to win a Super Bowl. And I know a lot of people were bringing up the Justin Jefferson topic and whatnot. And it's like, you know, that's cool. But realistically right now, I think the Bengals know, like, we can get a really good player here at pick 18. We can keep moving with T and give us our best opportunity to go win a ring. Because like we've talked about, the double tag's not out of the question by any means.
Yep. No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, it just makes too much sense, bro. Yeah, like the Justin Jefferson shit does sound awesome, but there's still so many other hurdles that would have to happen that would truly stretch the Bengals out of it, you know, in ways that they have never been, you know, they've never gone to before. So, like, it's so far out of the equation, and yeah, they're too incentivized now to keep T. Everything is laid out already. That's the thing, bro. It's like we talked about it ad nauseum. They're not strapped for money. We got too much money. We don't know what to do with the money we got. Why would we have $22 million more for no reason?
And you know what's interesting? I was talking to I gotta figure out. Let me go on Twitter real quick. I hope it doesn't fuck it up. Can you hear me still?
Yeah.
All right. So shout out to Jesse James. I talked to him for
little while and couldn't really figure out the exact numbers just yet, but there is cap space. All right. There is cap space that the Bengals cannot roll over to next year that they have to use.
Oh shit.
So that's, I think when we were kind of talking about what we were talking about earlier, now I think back to that and it's like, now that would kind of make sense.
Yeah. No, I wish I knew that number, but that's correct that you can't just keep accruing
right
years money. Because, dude, like, look at the fucking Commanders, bro. The Patriots have been like $50 million available in cap for 4 years. 3 years. They'd have like $280 million next year. They don't. They got like 100. Right. So, yeah, bro. I love how the NFL cap is structured. Is it perfect? No, but it makes so much sense just like that. You know, you can't just roll over any amount because think of that, bro. That like, yeah, that's low key. Like, that's like, that definitely gets into some like illegal shit because you realize how like you can literally sell your future. Like, oh, we're gonna, you know, like you realize the Bengals could fucking, if you were able to roll over any amount, you realize the Bengals could roll over like $90 million next year, bribe Justin Jefferson with like $50 million.
Right.
Can't do that. Like, hey, we had all this money from last year. Patriots will like, we'll pay you $75 billion a year. Like, if you're a fucking Patriot, no, it would never happen like that. So, yes, right. You got to pay a certain amount,
and you can.
Bad.
And we talk about these draft picks, right? You got 10 draft picks, and you got the money. So it's like a trade here. I mean, it would not surprise me. Not to say it's going to be some type of massive splash trade, but like, you know, the guy I was talking to you today can't really go out and say a name just yet, but it's like, you know, you could make a move for, say, a corner. Or you can make a move for that nose tackle that, you know, you really need to, you know.
Can I go as far to say that at least the first position you brought up was intentional?
It was like, intentional. It was intentional. But at the same time, it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people, when we were bringing Vaughn back, it was almost like the situation was like, well, it's cool, but it doesn't make sense. And I think you look at,
in the same light, it makes too much sense.
Right. I think like, cause you know, you don't have that rollover and stuff like that, but it's like, I don't know, man, you can't ever have too many corners. You have Ivy. I love DJ Ivy, man. Like that guy was on trajectory to have, you know, setting himself up for a really good year too. You know, rehabbing now, looks good though. I mean, guy like that, it's going to be hard next year if they, you know, if they do make a trade for a cornerback or something like that. Plus, I mean, I know we talk about it, man, but everyone's so set on Dax being in the nickel after this year. I mean, we know Mike's walking, right? He's probably going to get himself a bag. And you look at it like Drago could possibly be, you know, the slot. Maybe they view Drago, or maybe it is Dax. I think that position, there's going to be an odd man out at some point, in my opinion. When I look at it, I don't know how they're going to plan to do it, or especially, like I said, with the information I got today, it's like if they do make a move for a corner, it's like future-wise, there is like that odd guy out.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're going to make me do it, bro. You're going to make me do it of the little spiel of, you know what? This happened to me last year, right? Obviously, I see it within myself that, like, observing on how roster building could go, it really is a philosophy difference. Mm-hmm. But just to really connect both sides here. When a team fails, certainly every time, 9 times out of 10, when a team fails, You look at the last three seasons of their premium picks. I'd say, I mean, a third round pick is that premium? Kind of not. Like, third round picks do begin to become flyers, but first and second round. So we'll just keep it first and second round. All right, premium picks. When a team falls off, you look at what went wrong. Look at those six picks over 3 years. See where they're. When you miss on those picks, it is really hard to overcome. Mm-hmm. Period. Like, and of course, for some different teams, it could be different. Like, we've been perennial contenders for 2-3 years now. 3 years, really. Then the fall off last year, you know, after injuries. But, like, well, that's how we were there as well. Right? Like, the injuries, and you look at where did things go wrong, your premium assets, they have to hit and give you the highest value, or you have to go all in on that value that you chose to spend, right? That's why, remember last year when I said about Jackson Carmen, you know what? I liked what I saw in the playoffs. All in. It flopped. I know, it did. It flopped. It's funny now. But, bro, there was some positivity at the end, right? Like, there was positivity. Like, crazy that, yeah, how genuine that laugh was. Like, it's wild, like, where we are now. But look, you have to pay the price of that. Yeah. So now you fucked up. Dax Hill, I mean, it's a fuck up of a first round pick. I'm sorry, like, period. Because look, here's the reality. First year, you shook the jar a lot. All right. Second year, he dudded out. Third year, he's going to be Trey Flowers. And fans act like that's cool. Like, all right, that's sick. Perfect. I can buy that $3 million of a first-round pick from 22. And then they're like, oh, perfect. Put him in the slot in 24. Well, guess what's – or 25. Guess what's happening to before the season in 25? A fifth-year option that's not being picked up. So you get 4 years. You get 1 year of a slot corner that you drafted into the first round 4 years ago?
Right.
That's a whiff, bro. And here's what can happen, though. You saw the impact of missing on a second-round pick in Carmen. You saw the greatness of arguably the greatest stretch of premium picks the Bengals will ever have. And because, like I said, first and second round is what we'll keep, you know, in the concept of premium picks. Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, then Jackson Carmen. You saw the rift of what happened when you missed in that room on that premium asset spin. Why do fans think of just throwing a pick at a first-round corner,
yep,
just for talent is what this team desperately needs more than anything? Do they need to stabilize that cornerback room? Absolutely. You do that by acquiring a veteran. I love the talent of a first-round corner. Because, look, bro, if we had Quinyon Mitchell and Drago and CTB, this cornerback room is – and Mike Hilton? This cornerback room is insanely talented. But it comes back to the hit you are going to have to take. You chose to pick a second-round pick, a premium asset you can't afford to burn, but you just chose to burn it. You burned it. Like you said, somebody's missing, right? Somebody's falling through. Okay, either the second-round pick or the first-round pick. Yep. Those are the same fans that bitch that the Bengals aren't committed to winning. I'm not saying this about you. Really, I'm saying in one dude in particular in spaces that I'm growing every day more annoyed with. He's an older man, but he comes off with the tone of, I just don't think the Bengals are committed to winning. So he doges on how they missed on draft picks, yet they want to draft a predecessor, yet they bitch about the predecessors that have set us back in Dax Hill and Miles Murphy. Why would you draft a corner in round one then? No sense. Like, going back to the toxic girlfriend or the toxic boyfriend. Like, boom. You've got combined 500 snaps. I think I said this on the last pod of your 22 and 23 first round picks. Oh. That's why you're here. That's why we had to compensate the way we did in the draft or in free agency. That's why we struggled the way we did last year in those position groups. No pass rush outside of Trey Hendrickson going fucking nuclear, giving you almost 20 sacks. Our sacks, bro, our pass rush was ass outside of Trey. Our secondary, suspect as fuck. Those are the same fans that are fapping over J.C. Latham to play 200 snaps in 24. Makes sense. Like, but look, yeah. I get it. Draft a predecessor in the future. Absolutely. I love 25. Guess what? Those are the same fans that are saying, well, we have T for 1 year left. We got to win it this year. What do you mean? The premium asset you're about to spend, you can't wait to go watch his ass sit on the fucking bench. Yeah. You got to get a dude that you got to – the Bengals – after this deal, I'm going to sum it up here. The Bengals have to prioritize premium picks, highest impact now. Look, yes, they don't have many spots at all to get much value, right? Like, here's those three spots. Weapon number three. I say weapon specifically because Brock Bowers exists and tight ends can, you know, be using 12 personnel as pass catchers, blah, blah. I need a weapon number three. Pass catcher weapon number three. A rotational three tech, because you need rotation, and a left guard to battle Cordell Volster. That's it. There's no other starting spot for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I get it. I get what fans could say of, oh, well, you know, you're not going to find a receiver you like in round one. Like, Brian Thomas may not be there, and they're not going to take him anyways. Like, and Brock Bowers may not be there. Okay, fine. There's not many there. But, like I said, it's just that – it just doesn't make sense on how the Bengals have been burned the last 2 years with drafting these rotational guys because they just, their roster's just so stacked. And I get it. If you want to draft because you're stacked, you want to draft to premium positions. You don't want to draft a fucking linebacker in the first because you like them. You want to draft the most impactful positions. Pass rushers, wide receivers, guys guarding the wide receivers, guys getting after the quarterback or guys protecting the quarterback or a quarterback, you know, like those are the most impactful positions. Like, so I get it, but I'm sorry, bro. I don't think I went on that type of spiel last week, like five times in the spaces because I hear so many fans. I'll just say the name because I love the guy and we're going to go watch the draft with him game on. He's got a misconstruation thinking that the Bengals just rotate corners. No, they don't. I've told him this again, bro. Like, do you think the Bengals just rotate corners? Has Lou always done that, just rotate corners?
No.
I don't know why. Like I said, I love Game On, and this is funny because like, it's really not that big of a deal. I'm really passionate, like, about this. That's all. I'm not angry or anything. But on the game, like, bro, you've heard Lou say this. I do not like rotating secondary players. He only did that because he had to. Cheeto wasn't 100% Cheeto. And Drago wasn't good enough to be a competent, you know, great starter throughout the whole year. So you can't just rotate corners. You can't just rotate fucking tackles and say, oh, man, I can't wait for fucking jumbo sets this year for my fucking 71 snaps from J.C. Latham. It's going to be sick. Like, bro, no. Like, trade up and get a dude that you know is going to give you 900 to 1,000 snaps in Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, these seats. Mike Gesicki day one, and Mike Gesicki's a dude because Brock Bowers is that fucking dude. That's why I've championed Brock Bowers, and the other guy we'll finally move to because I think it is going to be more realistic what Peter Schrager had on his board and you alluded to.
Yes, sir.
Tyron Murphy, because guess what? It's just what I laid out. You want high impact day one. Not day one, week one. You could have Byron Murphy dethrone BJ Hill. Because it's what we talked about a month ago, that
yeah.
I expect with how Tavondre just had his value fall. Bro, I mean, we've really covered all of it, so I kind of like how it's really emulsifying here. Either the Bengals literally have to trade for a proven three tech or a nose tackle, sorry, proven nose tackle, or if not, Byron Murphy can play zero, the zero gap. So it's like it's the inside shoulder kind of as a pass concept, like a tackle because he's so strong, bro. So if he can play the run, Sheldon Rankins can play the run, BJ Hill can play the run.
Exactly.
You start to get some competence. No, you don't get a gap plugger to the level of DJ. You can't because he was arguably the best nose tackle perennially and he's gone. But if you can try to get competency in run defense, which you desperately need, and the pass rush upside, Byron Murphy, like, I've always had him ahead of Johnny Newton, bro. And it looks like it's definitely heading that direction, bro. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I've kind of came around more on this subject. I was heavily, I still am in a way, heavy on the offensive line train. But you also know who my guy has been since we started this. It's Troy Faiatano. And that, in my opinion, if that's the guy that falls to you, that's the most impactful offensive lineman that would have an impact on this offensive line. In my opinion, he's going to beat Cordell out at the left guard position, right?
Yep.
So I think that's where I kind of fall in the line of, like, supporting the offensive line. Now, the more I look at it and the more you break it down too, is like, and Zim also, I'm going to give credit to Zim because I know me and Zim kind of batted heads at times about this subject. But it's like, when I do look at it, it's like we do have to go into this season with, like, we have to expect, like, Trent Brown to play, right? That's our starter. That's our starting right tackle. And when he's out there, he is one of the best tackles at the right tackle position, especially in his career, one of the best in the league at that at right tackle. So it's like you get him out on the field.
No respect, bro. None.
Yeah, bro. And I put the numbers up when he first got here. I mean, his numbers at right tackle are fucking insane.
Elite. Like,
huh?
Elite, bro. They have been elite. Dude,
all his snaps. I think he had like over double plus the amount of snaps of Jonah, right? And he gave up less sacks than what Jonah did last year. So it's like, Guy is an alien when he's out on the field. He's a dog. And I think him having that refreshing, like, new start. Dude, he's like 30. I understand, like, he's not 3 out of 9. I get it. But at the same time, something that Zim kind of reiterated to me is, like, we have to go into this season, like, sure, we want to have that backup. We want to have something that we can rely on in that situation. But when we're talking about round one, we're talking about a contract in which, and you do compare it back to Dax, right? And I like how you broke it down with the, now we get a Trey Flowers role from him this year, and then, oh, by God, in year four, you're getting a slot corner. So it's like, for this first rounder this year, you're looking at the next 5 years.
Yep.
And if a Byron Murphy falls to you, I've been coming around a lot more on that just because of how – think about it, bro. Think about how much this defense – and as I kind of teased, if we did trade for a corner, look at how, like, different and, like, revolutionized, almost evolved of a defense we would have. It's like we're not this, like, okay, we do have a good secondary, but it's like we're not primarily just this run-stopping team. We can run stop in ways, but we also are going to get after the quarterback a lot more.
We're going to wreck the quarterback. Yeah.
And that's what this aspect of this defense has been needing, right? And if you can't get a Byron Murphy, man, if he really does, like, I think the Bengals would, in my opinion, in that instance, they probably would run straight to the board, right? Run straight to the board with that pick in hand, because
think of this, bro. Like, with the positions I just laid out and the names we've all brought up, I truly feel like that in a, you don't want to say in a desirable world, like, if it was 1 through 3, right, like, on, I feel like it would be Brock Bowers is the best player. Then probably Troy Faiatano, and then a Byron Murphy. Or maybe flip-flop Byron Murphy, Troy Faiatano. But, bro, like, if they were both there, that's absolutely their preference of either one of those guys. And they just, like you said, they fit perfectly. Like, the rotation on the defensive line, predecessor for B.J. Hill, every fan wants to talk about, you need O-line of the future, you need D-line of the future. B.J. Hill's on the last year of his deal.
Yep.
And he's age 30.
And we can't keep going. People want to talk about, we want to talk about, you know, revolving doors. We don't want to get in a situation on the defensive line where we're fucking trying to revolve the door of DJ Reader and compile that with a very valuable piece in BJ Hill, who at one point, right, was kind of just this rotational guy and then really accustomed himself to that role and took over. You know what I mean? So it's like, and really proved more work than Billy Price, right? Your former first round pick. So it's like, you need to hit. You can't afford to sit around. I know we got lucky, man, with Geno Atkins. Hit on Geno, remember? But that's not always going to happen. And if you're in the position to get a guy like that, like I said, I really came around on it. I think that that would be the pick. If he's sitting there, bro, Byron Murphy, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. He's a Bengal. I mean, look, bro, Paul Danner laid it out. Shout out to him. I wish I could see the exact metrics. Throughout the last 10 years, I think it's like 70% or some crazy shit of the top 10, like, graded in. So I don't know the exact metrics he pulled it from. Nonetheless, like, the top 10 best interior defensive linemen all drafted in the first round. It's a lot more like old than we think. That premium trenches come at a premium price.
Uh-huh.
So, like you're saying, bro, you can't just bank to find a DT later, you know, or defensive line. So that's why, like, kind of like we've been laying out, trenches, I'm all for trenches.
Right.
And I should say this macro overall, especially for, you know, any of the, you know, listeners in here that are typically in spacing, and especially the last few days, like, I have been kind of like the of our group, because we kind of got a group of typical speakers in there, and they obviously know me well at this point, so it's not just one thing. They kind of, you know, encapsulate my entire personality, but I've been kind of a villain the past few days. Because I'm tired of hearing them talk about these fucking predecessors. It's so boring. It's ugly. It's frankly kind of stupid that they want to fall back into the same thing and just act like a position of value is not appealing. Like, getting a high impact player for 24 is not appealing, yet they want to go back to fucking the Superdome and fucking Louisiana and play, just go 15-2 and wreck the league, yet they want to have a fucking first round pick sit the bench. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like,
when it's like, in my opinion, right, I think, like, you need that instant impact, because we've seen John Ross. I mean, just guys in the past where they get, even Dax Hill, guys, yeah, that they get their confidence kind of just fucked in the beginning, and it's downhill since.
And it fucks you.
Yeah, fucks you.
Like, bro, it matters so much, you know. So, like, just coming back to it with the board, you're right, bro. I think the Bengals love these types of players. I think they could be there, but that's the thing, they could, like, it's shit's gonna get real spicy at 10 and beyond, bro. I'm telling you, I had this inclination a while back, and I hate that I'm still this confident with it. Bro, I could completely see a world to where we look at, by pick 11, a guy like Byron Murphy's gone.
Oh, yeah.
He's the best three tech. Like, and because, like I just said, same with O-line, D-line, premium player, premium price. Teams don't want to risk it. The interior has been showing. You see the price of the bag that's gone up for interior, right?
Yep.
It's just valued at the highest it's ever been, and I think that's correct. So with it being correct, these teams are going to draft it higher. Like, and I also think guards are going to begin to get drafted higher. That's my opinion of, like, it's just proven to be more premium. So, I mean, Troy, that goes right to the wheelhouse of a Troy Fautano. Is he there? I don't know. Like, a team like the Eagles, of course, it's smokescreen season, right? So you can't really believe shit. But the Eagles talked about how they would love to trade up and get Troy Fautano. So, I don't know. Like, it does bring up the question, bro. Like,
but you got the Colts, who apparently won Brock Bowers. I mean, you got a lot of smoke screens going on right now. It's just gonna be interesting when we go to B Dubs, man. We're sitting there and we're wondering how these guys are, where they're gonna go. Really, yep. It's going to be interesting, that the run on quarterbacks early and the positions, like, the obviously, you know, Joe Alt's going top, you know, top pick. And you got guys that are Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, you got all these guys. And then, like you said, you get around pick 10 to 12, and it's going to start to get real, real fast.
Yep. It's going to, yeah, you're definitely going to get some, oh, what the fuck? Like, you're going to get, oh, holy shit. Like, oh, okay, that was obvious, but like,
I need a Cole Strange pick before us, man.
I need two. I need four. I wish the Patriots were drafted five times before us, because we know they'd be like, Eric All, 10th. Like, I could see some bullshit like that, but nah, you're right, man. We're going to need to kind of have our fingers crossed. Hey, man, maybe the Broncos and Raiders get a little too antsy. I don't know. Maybe they do, and they're like, you know what? We need a quarterback. We do not have one at all, bro. Like,
Bo Nix.
Okay, that's something we should maybe talk about a bit more of, like, but then again, you can see the side of, like, who else is going to trade up for him. I don't know, because literally every team has a quarterback that they like, relatively speaking. Right. Literally, like, every team in the league is actually, like, kind of in a decent spot. Like, I don't see the fucking Dolphins or, like, the Jets. Ooh, the Jets are a big one. First off, fuck the Jets. Their jerseys are cool, but I know they're going to be a threat for Brock Bowers. They just stash talent and don't use it. Say this all the time. We'll be consistently. Fuck them.
I think that, in my opinion, I feel like they're going to want a wide receiver if it's there.
But then Brock just makes so much sense because he's practically a wide receiver. Like,
true.
And he evolves with the game that they need, because that's just what he is. So, yeah, it'd make a lot of sense. I hate that it does make sense. But
yeah, bro. Before we wrap it up,
what's up?
Before we wrap it up, who's a pick that you wouldn't be happy about, but you would be fine about? Okay, maybe that falls in the line of someone that's not going to get a lot of snaps in mm-hmm. year one. But what player would that be for you?
In the first. Literally no player can make me feel that way, because I know overall, like, the topic we just had for the past 20 minutes of me going on a couple spiels was intentionally nitty-gritty. Yeah. Like, because that's just where we are at this time of year. Over all of it, yes, we are a perennial Super Bowl contender. Like, we're not basing our entire fucking 24 season off Tyler Guyton. Like, we drafted, like, it's not the end of the world, but damn it, it can rock yours. So with it not ending the world, I'm not like, we're done. Oh my God, we drafted Terrion Arnold, we're fucking cooked. Not at all. But if there was a guy that I would say is closest to the at 18, like, man, the Bengals get antsy and you do draft Tyler Guyton there. I don't think the value. I just don't think it's a good move. Could he be a decent player? Maybe. I don't know if I trust Frank enough to develop the way he needs to. I know it sounds cliche, but it's cliche for a reason. I just don't know.
He's a glass eater.
Yeah, nah.
He eats glass.
Exactly. And then he's ass. Like, forget that part. At least he's motivated. That's great. I love Alex Redmond.
I feel like Frank, like, he looks like such a mean guy if you just look at him, but he's probably, like, such a nice, cool-ass dude. He seems like
it. Eyes. Dude, they're, like, permanently squinted down, like Squidward. Bro's pissed. So pissed. He's like, I'm so happy. It's like, you look so mad. I don't know. Like, but now you're beyond that, I'm... 18, who else would I be mad about? I mean, bro, supposedly Johnny Newton's value is dropping. Bro, I don't give a fuck.
No.
Dropping him at 18, I'm lit. Because I know he's going to be good. Like, sure, you could talk about value. I know that dude's going to be good. So
both of them, yeah, I think both.
Yeah, both of them. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, a receiver, I mean, I don't know. Like, Xavier Worthy, I don't see any way he's drafted there. I don't see any way we pick him. Like, yeah, I don't think there is a guy, bro. I feel pretty good.
Ladd McConkey? Is that his name?
Yeah. Oh, at 18?
No, not at 18. What'd you think about him?
Oh, my God, bro. He's so good. Dude, he is like, I called him last week. Antonio Cup. Antonio mixed with Cooper Cup. Because he's got more of a stiff barreling type of run when he gets in space like a Cooper Cup. Like a white guy. But he's got the elusivity, bro. Just a notch below. Like a tier 2.5 compared to AB's. Because AB's twitch agility and elusivity was special. But dude, this dude's... Because, I mean, shit, bro. AB was all-timer. Low-key, as much as us Bengals fans hated him.
Yeah, for sure.
He's an all-timer. So, when we're legitimately comparing all-time type ability to Ladd McConkey, it's high praise, bro. Like, I think Ladd, he just hasn't had as much production as every other receiver. No, his traits, like I said, like, it's, I think it's 2.5 tier to AB's 1 tier. He's not the best at anything. But I think, shit, he may be low-key the second-best route runner in the class. So he's really sharp. He's strong. He's a sneaky 6 foot. He's a sneaky fast guy. He's a lunch pail type of guy. Very hard worker. You get what I'm saying? But, dude, he's a stud. Like, oh, my God, if we drafted Ladd, bro, I'd be so lit. Like,
even at 18?
God, no. What the fuck are we doing? Jesus Christ. Like, nah, bro. Like, oh, my God. If we draft it, no way that happens, bro. There's just simply too many good players ahead of him. So, yeah. Like, obviously, it's BPA. Not because his name's Ladd.
All right. So let me throw this name at you. What if we're sitting there and B-dubs me? It comes up on the screen. You got Johnny Newton on the board. But then here comes Roger Goodell. With the 18th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select J.C. Latham, tackle, Alabama.
Okay. You know what? Hey. I mean...
Man, really has some snaps in college, man. Yeah, I mean.
But here's the thing, dude. He is just, I think he can be a good player. I just don't feel like his ceiling is as high as others.
Like, is it out of the question? Is it out of the question? I mean, look at Trent Brown's contract. His contract's really, really low. I mean, is it out of the contract that maybe if there is a tackle there that they really like maybe he battles out and wins the job out? Like, is that out of the realm of possibility, or is that crazy?
I don't see it. No, it's not crazy at all, bro. I just personally see it because Trent Brown has so much experience with exactly what the Bengals are wanting.
Trent, yeah. I honestly think Trent's going to be a lockdown.
Exactly, bro, because he's
done, out there.
There ain't no experiment with Trent Brown.
No.
You know exactly what you're getting. So, say if Trent Brown was an all-time in his career, not all-time, but throughout the whole time of his career, a left tackle, and he was decent, then you'd have questions. But this dude, that's a thing, bro. Like we said a few minutes ago, like, dude, Trent Brown's ability has to be talked about more. Fans are just talking about the insecurity of Trent Brown. Yet we signed him to get some security. I'm not saying, like, he's the fucking mainstay right tackle for the future. He's about 30 years old, and who knows how much longer he's going to go. He may get a ring and dip, low-key, but, like, he's a really good fucking tackle that, like you said, we can't be banking on the injury. I don't want to put money on it.
Right.
Fans are like, oh, I'm just preparing myself. Well, you've literally said that every single time.
What did we see last year? The offensive line was healthy every single week.
Exactly. Oh, Jonah Williams, he's injury-prone, dislocated both of his kneecaps, tore his knee up, blah, blah, blah. He played every fucking snap. You're exactly right, bro. So that's exactly how it could go. You know, that, like you said, only 3 years out of nine, but guess what? That's 33%. It could be this year that he plays every snap. So going back with the JC Latham type, JC Latham, period, is not beating out Trent Brown. Not happening. Like the I don't think any dude is beating out Trent Brown because what's gonna happen is they're gonna beat out Cordell Volson first. That's why. So yeah, and I was saying this, like, Amarius Mims absolutely not beating out anybody. Nobody, because he can't play guard for real. JC Latham could maybe that's how JC makes a bit more sense. But then again, there's question marks at guard. What does that lead to the exact questions and doubts verifiably through the past of the Bengals O-line development?
Did you
You have failed doing that.
see today? I forget who said it. It might have been Paul Daner. I didn't even realize that Max Sharping was a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him being signed after the draft, probably. The Bengals chose to do that intentionally because they want to re-up on that, you know, O-line depth. So I can see that. Yeah. I mean, shit. I don't know. Obviously, he was really low key, you know, kind of had a couple rough goes, you know, for a majority with us, you know, when he came in. So maybe teams aren't looking at him, but he does have 55 starts or something in his career. Like, that is a lot, you know. So
Dog.
maybe looks at him before us. What'd you say, dog?
Dog. Like Drew Sample, bro. Shammy.
Bro, all time, like, bro, why are, dude, why are O linemen so ugly? Big and ugly. Like, they're just crazy humans, bro. Like, bro, remember BJ Finney?
Oh, remember
That was the
fucking
ugliest motherfucker, bro.
you got Alex Redmond.
Hey, man. Alex Redmond, yeah, he wasn't too ugly, but I mean, Bobby Hart was ugly as fuck. Shout out Bob. Like, hey, bro, respectfully, I love Orlando. I mean, he's a
Bro.
little, he's got,
Bro.
he's big ugly. Hey, man, look, listen, they're called big uglies for a reason. You look at him, yeah.
Dog, I need to get Bobby Hart and Eli Apple on a photo shoot together, bro.
Hey, got a three-headed goat. Who's the third one?
Let's see. Who will be the who?
All time.
Shit, you gotta think of the middle. You could put in the middle, bro. You gotta put I nah, that's dirty. I can't do that to my boy, man. I can't do that to my boy, man. That's fucked up.
What are you gonna do?
You know what? Respectfully, we're gonna throw him in there, bro. TI, bro. Right in the middle.
Oh, you talking about ugly? Oh my God, bro. Oh my God.
Oreo.
Holy shit, T.I. Hey, T.I., I love Yeah, man. Hey, listen, dude. Look, we got the variant team. We got the handsome dude. This is a weird, like, some guys think this is weird. I don't really care. Like, my dog's handsome. Yeah, my dog's, yeah, hey. They're 10-10 playmakers, and they probably get hella bitches. Because we got some handsome dudes, but we also got some. We don't. I don't think we have tweeners, dog. It's like, hey, man, like, yeah, like you're a handsome dude, but like, you ugly as shit. Like, oh no, like I don't think there's any in between, bro. Like, we got some hideous players, man. Hey, but listen, dude. If you had a handsome or ugly sleeper fantasy football draft, let me tell you something, Trent Irwin would be winning you some leagues. You play with some women, hey, them women, they'd still be drafting Jimmy G.
Ain't gonna lie, bro. I peeped out. I've seen some game that TI don't pull, man. Love something.
Hey, facts. Hey,
I told you about it.
I know what you're saying, bro. Yeah, she follows me too. I was pretty impressed. Dude, it was crazy. Like, when you brought that up, we'll keep her name discreet. And I don't even fucking remember it anyway, so it don't matter. I remember when you brought her up and I randomly came across her page and I realized she followed me too. And I was like, damn. Good for you, T.I. Hey, man. professional athlete lifestyle. But shout out T.I. I mean, maybe he could.
Maybe he could just go nuclear this year. Just fucking 1,000 yards. T.I. Fuck it.
Maybe nuke his face. Or his, get his teeth fixed. You're
fucked, bro. No, my dog T.I. looks like he's fried all the time.
He does, bro. He does. Shout out to the Cali build. I think that was where he's from. And he looks so much like a surfer, bro. It's funny. It's cool. Nothing but love for T.I. Yes, bro. Yeah, man. I mean, wrapping this up, that's kind of where we're at, guys. Like, with the draft talk, draft coverage, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's been a long, in-depth process. Like, I'm really excited for this draft, bro, because I've never been so involved with the prospects to know what this looks like, to know. Shout out Brady, anybody that's been in on the Playback app. You know what? I'll plug that real quick. This app, guys. Listen, Zim brought it up. Supposedly, Zim was reached out to by the creator of the app. Shout out to the creator to getting a hold of Zim, to then Zim getting a hold of the Bengals community on Twitter and such. Getting this Playback app, it's Twitter space on steroids. So this is a free plug, nothing connected from them. It can show you, you get to plug in with videos in real time. So a lot of what Bengals Twitter spaces consist of is talking about concepts, plays, games, players, situations. You can watch anything you want. So Playback app is so cool. You can come up and speak anytime. It really provides you everything that Twitter Spaces does with the video content. We've been able to watch hundreds of fucking All 22, bro. Hours. So shout out Brady. Like, dude, we've been watching dudes, the most random dudes that are never going to be shit in the league. Like, this dude's ass. But like, or whatever, or just breaking it down, like going a little bit NFL. That's where I've been at. So like, I do have draft fatigue, so I can't wait for it to get here, bro.
How did Giovanni Manu look?
He was crazy, bro. Yeah, forgot to mention it at the beginning. Didn't watch him because guess what? I'd be watching fucking basketball. Bro has never played. Yeah, we got to add this real quick for heading out. Giovanni Manu, guys, visited with the Bengals today. Top 30 visit, has never played a snap of football. He's a basketball player out of the Dominican Republic. 6'7.5", 313 pounds. Tested, I think they said, what would have been an 85 percentile athlete. And he's a freak.
And he'll probably be the pick at 18.
18th overall, Giovanni Manu. Or Bagel. Oh, my God. Hey, we're done, man.
Hey, bro, you know what's crazy? We bring in him. Why have we not reached out to DJ Burns?
Nah, bro. He ain't no football player, dude. Respectfully, he is not a football player, bro. That dude's going to be doing partnerships with, like, Wingstop in, like, 6 months.
Hey, bro, he's like 6'9 or some shit.
Yeah, I think he was 6'9, some shit. Yeah, he's big as hell, dude. He'd be out leveraged low key. Like, you can't be too tall now. Because if he gets stood up, you're cooked. You know, and I feel like that dude would get stood up. But nonetheless, we're getting through, guys. We got a little bit over a week. Like I said, we're recording at a fucking 3:55 in the morning. Yeah, man. I don't even know what day it is. I'm tired as hell. It's been a whirlwind. You know, appreciate you guys for listening to another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. And anything you got before we head out, bro?
Well, I mean, the guy you hate on consistently in our episodes, Mr. Mike Thomas. Shout out to the 80. He will be a special guest next week on the show.
What? 80?
Mike Thomas.
Oh, my God, bro. I'm so tired, dude. I low-key thought you meant Andre. Because you switched it to 80. I was like, oh, my God. Well, I guess, fuck, that teases it. Guys, we will be having Andre back sometime in the offseason. So I didn't know if it was now. But holy fuck.
No, I actually knew his buddy boy's back in Cincinnati. So. Hey.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, hey, that's a tale of two worlds right there. You talking about the fan adored new 80 or the terrorist 80. Oh. Like, You gotta be clear there, bro. I don't know which one you're talking about. Yeah, Mike Thomas. No, terrorist. Like, get out. He got off my team. I'm kidding. Like, he was just a booty cheek ass wide receiver that wasn't good, and I'm probably more athletic than he is, but you know.
Didn't he sign with the Ravens after?
Yeah, he did. Shout out. Top 10 receiver in franchise history. Big pickup for him. Bro, shitty booty cheek ass receiver. Like, they signed Deontay Hardy yesterday. I'm on every post. I'm like, bro, huge move for the Ravens. Respect. Like, they just signed a top 10 receiver in franchise history.
How do you think that? I don't think we ever really talked about it. What do you think that, like, the new kickoff rules, like, implies? Like, I mean, kind of like the.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like it, bro. Because, like, the reason I like it is because it adds more potential for a score, first of all. So more entertainment, and you truly help protect the players better.
Really?
Because the closer they are from each other, like, bro, because when you run it, I mean, they're not, like, fucking clashing, running full speed at each other. Like, you know, because often they have kick protect. So, you know, they run towards their returner, then help spring in front of them. So it's not like they're running at each other. More risk for injury the other way. That's why they try to go away from it. NFL way is a better way. Health, higher, likely. And returns, bro, like, because you probably saw a lot of videos. Like, the XFL, if I'm not mistaken, last year, they had, like, touchdowns, bro. That's crazy. The NFL has, like, 16 a year. XFL had 10 games. He had 7-8.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, like, I mean, you're going to be seeing kickoff returns every week for touchdowns. So, and then not with every team. But you're going to look across the league. You know what I'm saying? So, I like it. I think, you know, I just think it's good, man. Some fans are going to be annoyed, you know, oh, where's my beloved sport gone? You know, like, I remember the day when they just could just fucking James Harrison everybody and fucking ruin career.
Soft league.
Soft-ass league. What do you mean you can't fucking break a dude's neck? Like, what do you mean you can't suplex the running back or the quarterback?
Man, that's hilarious.
Funny as fuck, man. Nah, but that'll definitely do it. Appreciate you all for listening to this episode of All Things Bengals Podcast.
Yes, sir. Peace.